100 days in a world.
100 days. Ciento.
Is that better?
What? No, it's not. I don't know what the deal is, but you're all echoey.
Are you coming through? Why are you not? If that should have made a difference, because I just muted my. Muted. He's a mutant. He's a stinking mutant. It says I'm picking up like normal. Huh?
Yeah.
Hey, nah. Studio? Maybe that's it. So I'll let her.
Now the sound went away.
Is that back to normal?
Or back to there you go.
Is that normal?
Yeah.
Okay, well, shit. I changed something, and you said you couldn't hear me. Then I changed it back exactly the way it was, and now it's better. So I don't know.
Yeah, now you sound good. You sound like normal James.
All right. In a world where shit happened.
Ta-da!
Ta-da!
Yeah, that'll happen. Hey, James.
Hey, Nick.
Hey, James.
Hey, Nick.
Welcome to Dork.
Welcome to Dork.
I'm Nick Moore.
I'm James Brown.
And I'm Nick Moore. You're listening to Dork episode 140.
140, the top speed of the 1987 Ford Mustang GT 5.0.
Yeah?
About. I think it was like 141.3 or something, but it was close. You rounded off to two significant
digits. Fox bodies?
Huh?
That was one of the Fox bodies?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was a decent engine. The car just looked horrendous.
It was boxing. It was, well, they didn't change essentially from like between 19, what, like
late 70s,
83, 80, you know, 79 to 83 was kind of like, yeah. Oh, no.
It had a Mustang badge, but it looked like a Gremlin.
Yeah. Well, that was like the 74 to 79 or 78, somewhere around there. And like 1979, they started changing it different. And in 1987, the essential shape of the body was the same, but they like started like smoothing things out. Until, like, you know, 1994 when they actually made it more pony looking. And in 2005, I'm just going to stop talking. Hey.
Hey, we've all got things we like, James. And that's what we're going to celebrate. Like, dork.
We are, dorkiness. Dorkopotamus.
You fucking dork.
You're a dork. Which apparently has nothing to do with whale dick.
Yeah. So... in today's Dork News, Netflix is doing another show.
Is it a fisty show?
Well, it is doing a fisty show. Yes, but that's when we knew it was coming.
Oh, is there another one?
I'm assuming you saw the...
The Iron Fist trailer?
Trailer, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
But, yeah, that was exciting. Like I'm excited. I'm stoked, but now I'm less stoked because you're about to tell me something else that I don't know.
They're going to do a Castlevania show.
No.
Yeah, they're going to do a show based on Castlevania, Netflix. And yeah, that's out of nowhere. But
what is the rating of this going to be? Is this going to be live action?
Yeah, I think so.
Are there going to be like blood and gore and cursing?
That's my guess. Is they're going to be like, it's a supernatural action thriller type thing with tits. I don't know.
Ooh, interesting.
Yeah.
The possibilities, right? Yeah. But like, you know, when you think Castlevania, I mean, it's vampires and all that kind of stuff, but it's also like, you know, I started playing that when I was like a kid. So like my association with it is like, oh, it's aimed at like, you know, more kid level stuff. But I guess that's not necessarily the case.
No. The guy, you remember the movie The Gray with Liam Neeson where he fist fights wolves?
Yeah.
Okay. So the guy who wrote that or produced that, his name is Adi Shankar.
Yeah.
And about a year ago, he tweeted, I'm producing a super violent Castlevania miniseries. It's going to be dark, satirical, and after a decade of propaganda, it will turn the vampire subgenre on its head.
Ooh. That's exciting.
Yeah, so that's happening.
Fucking Twilight shit.
Right?
Yeah.
Fix that shit. But yeah, Iron Fist trailer for that came out and looks glorious.
I'm super excited about this.
Yeah, dude, I did Kung Fu. Like, I've been into Kung Fu movies forever, like since I was little. When I was a kid, and I mean like 3 or 4, my cousins would come over to the house during the summer because my aunt and uncle both worked during the day. And so my mom would babysit all of us. And my cousins and I would sit down and we'd watch Chips and Dukes of Hazzard in the morning. And then just a shitload of Kung Fu movies. Like, they had like an hour or two of just old school chopsticky Chinese poorly dubbed Kung Fu flicks.
Yeah, I would do some of the dubbing things, but like it loses its effect when all you have is audio.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, picture my mouth like moving subtly and me going, "Now you will pay for your treachery."
Ah, Chin, I've found you. Now you'll pay. Chase my might. You've killed my master, eh? And I shall kill you.
I wonder if I had somebody translate those, or if they just like, you know, they're like, somebody watch it and be like, this looks like something they'd be saying right now. And just like, American actors, here, you do some voice stuff.
I hope it's the latter.
Me too.
I hope it's option B. Just sit down and go, all right, what do you want this story going to be about? I don't know, like he stole his dog. What no, do you raped his dog. How do they know?
He raped his dog. Because the dog obviously didn't want it. Anyway.
Ah, Wing Lean. There you are. You're probably so angry about me raping your dog, eh?
Oh, that was you. Did that.
They had like a weird kind of gangstery talk. Sometimes that's how you knew the bad guy was. And I think it was just they added that in because of the way Chinese is spoken differently than English. So you had to put in like every now and then to kind of match up with the face. You have to kind of go, Yeah.
Yeah, like they were all like Edward G. Robinson. Yeah, shame. Yeah.
But from what I can tell, Iron Fist isn't going to have him talk like that.
No, I don't think so.
Which is a shame.
It is. It's a missed opportunity.
It is a missed opportunity. That shit is going to be fun. I fucking love Kung Fu. Fucking love Kung Fu shit.
Show me.
Like,
show me.
Just whoa, and I'm not talking about it's 2017. Everybody knows martial arts whenever they fight in any movie ever,
right?
You know, I'm talking about cornball 1970s. Everybody's kung fu fighting fucking kung fu. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, give me some fucking like Bruce Lee shit. Whoa. Bunch of dudes with hatchet coming out. It's going to have a fucking hatchet game.
What I love is when they have like the extra special effects, like when a guy like punches the air or like just shifts and there's like this impact, like he's hitting a stone wall and like breaking it, like chur, chur,
chur, chur, chur. Yeah, and you hear like the snaps.
Yeah.
And he's just waving.
Just like he has bull whips attached to every joint, and he's breaking the sound barrier every time he moves.
That's how fast he fucking moves, man. Fuck yes.
Yeah.
That's what makes it awesome. I'm not afraid of you, Shang-Chi.
Yeah, she. Yeah.
Yeah.
Your dog. Your blood tastes good, like your dog's vagina. Anyway.
Okay, yeah. If they really want to give me a hard-on in this fucking show, they need to bring in not only fucking Luke Cage, because Luke Cage and Iron Fist, you know, are heroes of fire.
Power Man and Iron Fist, yeah.
Yeah. They got to bring him in. They got to bring in Doctor Strange, because Doctor Strange and Iron Fist are like buds.
Oh yeah, Mystic Arts and shit.
Yeah, and the kicker, fucking Shang-Chi, Master of Kung Fu.
Ooh.
You ever read that shit?
No, but I've heard of it.
I got a big stack when I was like 12. I got a big stack of Shang-Chi comics from a friend of mine who got like 3 boxes of comics from some friend of his dad's. And so he's like, yeah, there's no way I'm going to go through all these. Just take what you want. So I went through and I found the series, Shang-Chi, Master of Kung Fu. So I was like, oh, let's check it out. So I just grabbed all of them. I'm like, I'm going to take these. He's like, that's fine. I don't care. So I took those. Shang-Chi is a Kung Fu master.
Well, his
master. It's his name.
Yes.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Right, he comes from Hunan province in the People's Republic of China. And he's the son. You want to guess his dad's name?
His name is Shang-Chi. So his father's name is Sung-Chi.
Nope.
Or Chi Sung.
It'd be Shang. But it's
Shang
not.
Sung. Shang Tsung.
It isn't. It's Fu Manchu.
Oh.
His dad's name is Fu Manchu. And then he ends up fighting his dad because his dad keeps trying to conquer the world. So, like, that's his big bad guy, is his father.
Right.
That's a twist. But he ends up becoming like a secret agent to help battle his dad. With the British. It is the most fucked up.
He's like a Hong Kong Uncle Tom.
Yeah, dude.
Oh my god.
Uncle Hong.
No, but when you said yeah. What did you say? Yeah, it was Fu Manchu, yes.
But yeah, he would pop in with like weird, you know, weird crossovers like Nick Fury or Man-Thing was one.
Really?
He saw Spider-Man once or twice. Like,
oh yeah. Well, everybody sees Spider-Man. Spider-Man had an entire series just based on him cameoing with other people or like, you know, guest starring.
But yeah,
Marvel team up.
He eventually hopped on with the Heroes for Hire. So that would be just like a great throw in. Hi, my name's Shang-Chi. But like, he's a janitor. Like, they don't really use him. He's just a cameo. So just keep an eye out for that. I'm hoping that happens.
Yeah, there's no telling. I mean, they like introduce people like, you know, I mean, they put Misty Knight in there as a major character in Luke Cage, and but she like never like became the Misty Knight, you know, for the reason we like Misty Knight kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like she kept her arms, is what I'm saying. Spoiler alert. Once she got shot and he was like, oh, if this happens, you could lose your arm. It's like, okay, well, that's how it happens. And then Tony Stark comes in and says, hey, here's a bionic arm.
Wah! I'm just psyched. Kung Fu goodness.
Oh, yeah.
I'm a big fan of Jackie Chan's earlier work. Particularly Drunken Master. Anything that involves Drunken Fist, I love. Love Drunken Fist Kung Fu. It's so fucking stupid. You just pretend like you're drunk and you fight like a crazy ass drunken monkey. That's why they call it Drunken Monkey.
Yeah.
I just realized that I don't sound any. I sound at my most southern when I'm talking about Kung Fu.
Yeah, Kung Fu, right? I'll
tell you what. Or when I'm stoned out of my balls. Like, that's apparently a thing I do when I get really high, as I start talking like Foghorn Leghorn. For no reason. Well, I don't know why.
My mom started talking like Foghorn Leghorn for no reason last week.
Is she having a stroke?
No, but she was just like, every time she's making a mark about the fact that I resemble my father in some way, either in appearance or in behavior. She says, the apple, I say the apple, does not fall far from the tree.
I totally imagine your parents talking like that.
Yes. I say the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. He's a nice boy, but his elevator doesn't go all the way to the top.
You know what I mean? Yeah, I've never met your mom. I've only met your dad.
Yeah.
So until I do, I'm just going to picture your mom as like an Eskimo.
Yeah, I'm sure that's a, what?
Yeah, with the big fur parka and a harpoon. And she's just standing at the kitchen counter talking to your father. I say the apple doesn't fall far from the tree.
Yes, she's just like Queequeg from Moby Dick, yes.
Yeah, face tattoos and all.
Yes. I say the apple does not fall far from the tree. That's one thing I used to love. Like, we were talking about dubbing Kung Fu movies, and I was just imagining not only, you know, not having and a proper translation, but just not even having a script. So, like having a couple of people just, you know, in the Foley room. There's guys like making sound effects for all this, like, you know, like extra sound effects because in China they, you know, just, yeah. And then somebody comes on the screen. You're like, oh, you're my enemy. I need to fight you because it's time to do that, and I need to eat breakfast afterwards. Nah.
Yeah, and they've got to do like 10 of these a day.
Yeah,
like they got a shitload of these chop sake flicks, cheap because the people want them. James, people want them.
Right. Yeah.
TBS 10 hours
to do 5 minutes. Yes.
Yeah. TBS. Yeah, we have to do all of next week today.
Yes.
And then
that needs to be even running the time of the movies. I just cut over the credits. It's fine. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, who cares? And so they just go. They just hop in and go. That's what they do all day. I would love that job. What do? I dub Chinese action flicks.
Oh, really? Is there like a proper translation? Like, do you use the...
No. No, man. No idea. I go
who
in...
Who does your translations of your scripts? Scripts?
No. No, I go in. I get there about 10 o'clock. I have a McMuffin. And then I smoke a fat bowl. And I grab a handle of Jack, and I just go. I do all the voices, even the women. Oh, hi, Chang-Chi.
Oh, Aaron.
You come to get some of this sweet poontang? Mm? Ah, so you know. I love
yes.
I love nothing more than your poontang. Ah, Chang-Chi.
I love yours. Yes, I'm sure TBS would love that.
Chang-Chi, I see you're talking to your beautiful bride-to-be. Poontang. Yes,
Well, they show it at like 2 o'clock in the morning, so nobody who
don't
like
talk to my poontang like that. Oh yeah, Shang-Chi, protect me. Yeah, we'll see how well you protect her when she's in my fortress. Take her, boys. Poontang, no. Shang-Chi, save me.
Rising dragon. Final move. Secret power.
You've stopped us this time, Shang-Chi, but we'll be back.
Aha, you try, and I will always be here to protect my poontang.
You tell your master anytime he wants to face me, straight up, I'll be in the market. Oh, Shang-Chi, you're the best. Shut it, poontang. I can do it all day. All day.
Oh, yeah.
I don't care if anybody ever sees that movie. I will see it. Once. Uh-oh. While I'm dubbing it.
I'll see it once. Oh.
Just giggling. I can't believe they paid me for this shit. I am so high.
That's one of the lines in the movie. I can't believe they pay me for this shit. I am so high.
There's like a 10-minute section which is a phone call I'm having with Carol dubbed over a fight scene. Yeah, well, no, I can pick it up on the way home. I thought we had eggs. We don't have eggs? We're out of... No, we got eggs like at the farmer's market. Remember? Well, just use the duck eggs then. I don't care. It's dinner. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, we'll do breakfast for... No, breakfast for dinner is fine. It's quick.
Stab.
Yeah, I love you. Hello! All right, bye, baby.
Well, there wouldn't be voices, because you'd be doing, you know, new voices.
Yeah.
It'd be leftover sound effects from China.
Yeah.
Or if I were in there with you, just be silly trying to get your attention. Nick! Nick! The mic is live.
I was listening to one of our sister podcasts. Well, it's more like a cousin podcast.
There can be only one?
Yeah, there can be only one. And a couple episodes back, they watched Game of Death.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so you got Game of Death. The final Bruce Lee movie,
where right? They just, with a big guy with a big foot,
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Yeah, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Yeah, he kicks him in the chest, and he's got a footprint across his whole.
Yeah, torso. Yeah. That's like the one image. Like when I think of that movie, is like, yeah.
But you got to watch a lot of bullshit to get to that fight. Because it's got about 12 minutes of Bruce Lee and then all the minutes of not Bruce Lee, unless it's like stuff from other movies that he was in. And they've just cut that in. So yeah, that's a piece of shit. So they're talking about that, which is, it's always entertaining. Especially like when people, like I like, my favorite parts of that podcast are when Herman Omega Prime Davis gets really mad about having to watch a bad movie. I'm looking forward to it because I'm going to be a guest on that show next week.
Oh yeah, what are you watching?
If Robert can find him, both copies, we're going to watch Wanted.
Oh, with James McAvoy and Angelina Jolie, and what's the
other
one?
That's one of them. The other one is from 2009. Is a Bollywood action flick.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
I wouldn't guess it was. I wouldn't guess it would have been something more recent. That's funny.
Yeah, neither would I. I was just looking at, you know, big list, like, and so I gave Robert a couple options. Like, I've never seen Heat.
Yeah, what's? I mean, there's Al Pacino and Robert De Niro. What's the other one?
I don't know, but it's another one that it should be easy to find.
Yeah,
And Crash. Like, I've never seen the Cronenberg Crash, and I've never seen the other one that won the Oscar.
I've never seen the Cronenberg Crash. I've seen the one that won the Oscar. It's a steaming pile of shit, if you ask me. But, you know, this, you didn't ask me.
The Cronenberg one got James Spader in it, and it's about people that get off on car crashes. Like, they get into car accidents and then fuck.
Oh. Yeah. That actually sounds familiar. I feel like I've seen that now.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen everything that James Spader's been in, of course. You know. It's not entirely accurate. But I've seen a lot, including the final season of The Office. But sorry, I had an interesting day.
What happened?
I mean, several things happened, but the one thing I wanted to talk about was the fact that, like, a couple of my students in particular are finding out that I have this other life, or, you know, besides being a teacher. And it includes my life as a stand-up comedian and such.
Yeah.
oh, shit. Well, no, I found out. Okay, so yesterday, which was Tuesday for you listeners out there, there was a lot of weather in the New Orleans region. And yeah. I live and teach in New Orleans. And during the school day, we were sheltering in place. We were like, so instead of being in class, we were like all in the hallway, and like the kids were like sitting down near the, you know, on the floor against the walls. You know, that's you know, what you do in case there's a tornado. And one of them said, "Mr. Brown, tell me a joke." And he's like one of the kids in my third period classes who, like, you know, does his work and he, like, you know, understands shit. And like, if he does understand, he actually asks questions, which I really appreciate all aspects of that. And he's like, "Mr., tell me a joke." And so the first joke that always comes to my mind, and I've told this on this episode of this podcast before.
This is the wide mouth frog joke.
This is the wide mouth frog joke. And so I told him the joke, and I told it to him uncensored because, you know, I respect his maturity. And he thought that was the funniest thing he had ever heard. I don't understand why, but I appreciate
neither
it.
Neither do I.
Yeah. Fuck you. Anyway. But he was like, "Oh, so." later on today, he was like after his classes. Like, I was waiting for one of my coworkers to come because, like, to like show up and like give me some information that I need to teach tomorrow. You know, if I actually want to do what I'm supposed to do, and that student and like one other student that are both like high achievers, like. We're like sitting around and we were like BSing and like, you know, he asked me to tell the joke again and I told the joke again and we did some other stuff and he like wanted to know if I could rap and, you know, it was just like, you know, it was like, you know, very casual, very like, you know, this is not the regular Mr. Brown kind of stuff. It's like, you know, this is stuff that, you know, like he's getting to know the,
yeah. You're a human.
Yeah. And then like he found out that I was on, that I had like stand up on YouTube. And so hopefully he doesn't like spread that all around the school.
You got shit on YouTube?
I have a little shit on YouTube. I have stuff from the 2010 Southeast Comedy Arts Festival from Lafayette. It was like a 10-minute, me doing like 10 minutes of stand-up. But I'm pretty sure, now that I'm thinking about it, I'm pretty sure that, like, that's the one where I do like Gollum, like asking for pussy and. you know, it's like, you know, like if Gollum were like a spokesperson for Budweiser, you know, he's like, Budweiser, cool, refreshing, process. Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri. And like a few other things. And I'm like, you know, maybe in retrospect, I probably shouldn't, you know, let them know that that was on there anywhere. But whatever. Pandora's box. Fuck it. I have a feeling that he might keep, he and the other girl may like keep it to themselves because they were like, you know, this is gonna be our like kind of secret kind of thing. But I don't know.
I hope he finds this podcast. Hey kid, what's his name?
Juwan. Or I think he pronounced it Juan. It's like J-U-W-A-N.
Juwan. Hey man, did you finally get to this episode or are you starting at this episode? It doesn't matter. Welcome to the podcast, Juwan. My name is Nick, if you haven't figured that out yet. And boy, howdy, do you need to start over at episode one and just listen to all this. Just listen to all of it. Keep it to yourself. But gain some insight into the man who's teaching you physics.
Yes.
Well, welcome aboard, Juwan. Glad to have you. You only have cats, right?
I have only ever had cats in my household. I don't have a cat anymore.
You've never had a dog ever.
Never had a dog.
You have no cats?
I have no cats. Nemo died like a year ago.
And you have? I thought you had like three cats.
I had two cats, one of which I was like watching for a friend for 2 years, and then we gave her back before we moved to we gave him back to her before we moved to New Orleans.
I thought you had three.
No, never had three.
There's one that would always hide, and there's one that would like annoy us to try and get into the room when we did the podcast at your place. And I thought you had another one just but it was always just hiding from me.
No. Apparently one of those cats was two of those cats.
Yeah. I always assume that when I go to somebody's house and like they have a cat and they're like, we have a cat, it's hiding. I assume there's like two cats.
Yes. Are you like one of those people like, you know, you assume like if there's a complaint, then that means like 10 people actually think that whatever the one complainer says.
Yes.
Or if you can see one termite, that means like there's 100 million out inside the walls.
Well, that it does. But, so you don't give a shit about this, but I'm going to tell you anyway. Dogs like music, James.
Do they, Nick?
They do. And it's not just like in general. Like they like music. They're fans. And different dogs are fans of different types of music. You know? But they're not going to be pigeonholed. They like all kinds of music. But. The University of Glasgow,
okay,
in Scotland, mm-hmm, did a study, and they hooked up dogs to like heart monitors, and like they would, you know, film their pupils and stuff to see how they reacted to different types of music. Now,
okay,
if you were to guess what type of music dogs like the most, what would you guess?
Rock and roll.
Rock and roll. They do like soft rock.
Mm.
They are a fan of soft rock. Like, you know, I'm guessing like Christopher Cross type stuff. But yeah, that'll get them every time. But their favorite genre of music, James,
mm-hmm,
absolute favorite, is reggae.
Reggae.
They fucking love reggae. Like, they just, like, the reggae gets on, and they just chill right the fuck out. They're just like, yeah, yeah, I get it. I get it, man. Bob Marley gets me.
Reggae.
And so I did a test, right, where I was like, I was hanging out in the bedroom with my dogs. And so I just pull up Spotify, right? And pull up Legend. Because, you know, Legend's a good go-to reggae album.
Yeah, it's it may be the epitome of reggae albums.
Yeah, it's like one of those ones that you got to own. Like when you get into college, or let's say you're about 18, 19, whatever, right. You're going to own Legend. You're going to own Miles Davis' Kind of Blue. You're going to own maybe Queen's Greatest Hits. Maybe Pet Sounds by the Beach Boys. Like there's albums that you get when you discover pot. And you're like, yes.
Would you say Dark Side of the Moon would be one of those?
Yes, I would definitely say Dark Side of the Moon is one of those.
And if, even if you don't own the album, though, you'd have to like own the poster of the album cover or something.
Yeah. So I started playing this. And, you know, I've got four dogs. And they're all hanging out in the bedroom watching TV with me. As soon as this shit comes on, they were all like two of them were, Minnie and Morris were like kind of wrestling over this toy bone thing. Put this shit on. Within, I'm going to say 30 seconds, they were all just out. on the bed, looking at the TV, but just chilled the fuck out. Just like, yeah, whatever, man. Whatever's on. Just do this. I'm not going to say they're like bobbing their heads or anything, but dude, they were into it.
Nice.
So, noted. Now, while we're talking about music and behavior, there's another thing I saw. Are you familiar with Imogen Heap?
Imogen Heap. Why does it sound familiar?
She's a singer. And if you hear her voice, as soon as you hear her voice, you're going to recognize it. But she did a song called Happy Song, and it's scientifically designed to make babies happy. Like guaranteed.
Oh.
So it's another one I got to try out. But if you just look up Happy Song, Imogen Heap, it should be the first thing that pops up. I have. Let's see. This is not the song. This is. Oh, yeah, this is. Yeah, so this is accompanied by pictures.
Scientifically designed to make your baby smile.
Yeah, and it's accompanied by, you know, babies smiling as they listen to this song. I got a grin on my face. What you think?
It's a happy song.
Yeah, it's pretty straightforward, right? Like, it's got a real raffy quality to it.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely got a good vibe to it. I feel like I'm supposed to be happy when I listen to it.
Would you fuck to that song?
Depends on who I'm fucking.
Fair.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say that. It depends on whom I'm fucking.
Yeah. Noted. I'm totally saying that. Next time Carol and I are going at it, I'm gonna be like, oh yeah, baby, hold on. You like that? You're smiling. I mean, you must. And she'll go, what is that? I'm like, it's a song scientifically designed to make babies smile. And then she'll get mad, and it'll ruin the moment. But at least this time, I can blame it on Imogen Heap. She did. Yeah. Dude, she did another song. Like, I'm trying to remember what. I don't remember what it's called. But it was.
About dinosaurs.
I think it's "Hang On, Let Go."
Hang on, let go.
Is that her? Yeah, let
that
go.
That sounds like a contradiction.
Let go. Do, 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 do. I'm sure this is fucking great for the podcast. Yeah, man, she like.
I'm thinking of Laurie Berkner. That's what I was thinking of.
That's not right.
We are the dinosaurs marching. We are the dinosaurs. Something.
And then her big hit was Hide and Seek. I don't. I'm not recalling this.
Is this it? Oh.
Let's see. No. Like, that's all autotune. It's not, dude. Whatever. Look her up. You'd be like, ah, yes, that's the song. I know that song. I know that voice. Imogen Heap. But she has kind of like this breathy voice that, kind of boner-inducing lyrics. Not the lyrics, but like the, hello, like that. You know what I'm saying? No? James? James? James, did you go away? Oh, man. James, your audio is gone.
There we go.
Ah, there you go. You're back.
Sorry, I was pressing volume, and I thought I was pressing mute. Apparently, I have the buttons on the side of my thing, right? So there's.
That's working great, James.
It was on the side of my headset, so I can, like, if I need to mute the microphone real quick to, like, blow my nose or cough or whatever, then, I can just press the button. But I didn't realize that there was volume buttons above it. Because I'm just used to it. I'm just going to shut up now. I'm not going to shut up.
James.
I'm not going to shut up because it's a podcast, and if I just shut up, it'd just be like you talking for the next 20 minutes going, yeah.
Is that how I sound, James? Is that how I sound?
Not at the moment.
Huh?
Now you sound condescending and a little bit mad.
Do I? Oh, wow. I've got a box of pins. This is
I'm
fascinating.
Sorry.
Episode. No, I just opened it and like all the pins are open. They're click pins, James, and all the buttons have been pushed.
Why?
I don't know.
It's a good way to try that.
They must have been in the box. And they all while they're being shipped, they all get clicked at once. And then those goddamn awesome Pilot B2Ps.
B2.
Yeah, the B2Ps. They're used to be water bottles, and they're recycled into pins.
Are they gel?
No, they're not gels. They're ballpoints.
Just ballpoints. Because the Pilot makes my favorite pin, but I'll probably talk about this. But on the
this is my favorite pin.
Well, let me see it.
Hold on. Let me get it one out of the box.
This is exciting radio here.
It is, as we look at each other's pins. But I guess it looks similar.
Thank you.
I'd say it's almost the exact same pin.
Except yours is made out of recycled stuff.
Yeah, and it's light, and it's ribbed.
Oh, like mine's not ribbed.
The ribs.
Yeah,
it's got little ribs in it that make it look kind of like a water bottle. But yeah, they're light. They fit just perfect. And it's like I've gotten to a point in my life where I can appreciate a really good disposable ballpoint pen. That's what matters, folks. Finding the little things that are just perfect. Just right. And realizing that all things can be perfect and just right if you pay the fuck attention. Butter, for instance. Get the right butter. It will change your goddamn life. Toilet paper. You don't want to go too cheap, but you don't want to go too expensive. The expensive stuff leaves the lint all in your ass because they try to make it far too soft. You want to go middle of the road.
I like the Charmin Ultra Strong myself because I don't like it coming apart at all.
I like the Angel Soft. One with the baby on it.
I like the one with the mirrors.
This is the one that's got the green paper to it. It's a good in between. It'll give, but it's not so strong that it'll tear your asshole open if you get after Taco Bell.
Bong.
That's what I'm saying. Like, in the middle of the road.
Yes.
And this is a decent pin.
Yes. Okay. Well, you can turn your video off now. I've seen your pin. Do we have stereo?
That's a good question.
Well, no, because it's probably the size of the computer or the size of the files will probably be like 120 meg instead of like 60 or whatever they are.
Let me see. Hold on, I'm gonna do a test.
chickity chick chick. Chickity chick 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 chickity chick chick chickity chick chick.
What that sounds like.
Doo 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 doo.
Do you think cats like music, James?
I think the music the cats like comes from, straight from the bowels of hell.
Yeah, like death, yeah. Like Swedish death metal, or just screams of pain.
Screams of pain. Because I remember one time I like stubbed my toe and I was like, "Ah, oh, god damn it!" And Nemo was like, "Purr."
Maybe he's trying to make you feel better.
Yeah, maybe.
Like it's all good. Cat-
Well, cats are interesting because you know they don't meow to each other. They only meow in the presence of people.
Yep. Because they're conniving fucks.
They are. I mean, I love them, partially because they're so evil, but you know.
Well, like Christopher, my black cat, he talks constantly because we like hand raised him from when his eyes were closed.
Yeah.
Like Carol like had to clean his eyes every day before they open and clean his butt. And like put warm water on his butt so he'd pee, and then bottle feed him like every 2 hours for weeks. And so what?
Oh, because usually their mom does that?
Yeah. Like okay. The mom feeds them and then licks their butt, and that makes them pee and shit. So without the mom there, Carol had to do it. And then we ended up taking turns warm washcloth-ing his butthole so he'd piss. It was glamorous. And the whole time I was like, why? She's like, because they found them. They found all the kitties and the mom's dead. So we have to save them. So we had to take Christopher home. But yeah, we've been talking to him since he was birthed. He's really chatty. Like he talks nonstop. Like, hey, Christopher, how's it going? He does his little chirps, you know?
Uh-huh.
His little chirps and like talks. And you can just talk to him. And he's like, hey, Christopher, what's up? Yeah? What'd you do today? Oh, that's fascinating. You really just slept most of the day, didn't you? All right, you want me to pick you up? And you put your hands out, and he'll stand on his hind legs and lift his arms so that you pick him up like a baby.
Oh.
Yeah.
He thinks he's people. He's
an awesome cat. And then there's Bob. And Bob is a dickhole who I caught 2 days ago pissing on my running shoes. Like I walked into the bedroom and she's sitting on the toes of my shoes, pissing into them. Because she's a dick.
Okay.
I can no see reason.
How that, no. I can see how you make you upset.
There was no reason for it. She was just being a dick.
She's being a cat.
Your cats piss all over your shit?
No, but Nemo would sometimes leave a poop somewhere inconvenient.
What an asshole.
Yes. One time on the coffee table. I never told Jane about that because that was before she and I started dating. Or at least before we started living together. And so we still have that coffee table. And I think if she ever found out that there was cat shit ever on the coffee table, she would like want to like, you know, throw it down the stairs into a dumpster fire.
Fuck your shit! Throw it away! Is James there this week? Or Jane there this week? Or she out of town?
Why?
I'm just curious. She's been talking for a while.
Yeah. Sure, we're upstairs. No
point, yeah, you haven't looked off into the middle distance. Like,
she's also like, you know, really sick. So
sick.
Sick. Yeah. Like I went and like got like a thermometer and like NyQuil and Ricola and all that type of shit for her. Yeah. Sudafedrin.
Did she make you buy a new thermometer every time she's sick?
No, but for some reason we didn't have a thermometer on hand. Although there's part of me was like, I think I bought one of these like 3 years ago, but I don't know. But she doesn't usually. Yeah, well, she doesn't usually run a fever, which is one thing. Because, like, you know, she'll be like, "I'm sick," but like, I don't have a fever. It's fine. But she'll just be sick. But like now, she's like sick and has a fever, so it's like, we need to check on this shit. Never know how much I love you.
You know that sounds like
Death? Yes, it does.
It sounds like some bullshit to me, James. I bet if you go into her drawers, like wherever she keeps her clothes, go to the bottom drawer
and pull it open. There's like a shitload of thermometers there?
It should be full of thermometers. And as soon as you look and find them, you just hear like the floorboards creak behind you. And she goes, James, what are you doing, James?
Nothing.
What are you doing?
Nothing. I was just, no.
That's not for you, James. Oh, I mean, you're not supposed to be in here.
I mean, You're not supposed to be in here. I didn't know. But why are there so many thermometers?
You're not supposed to be in here.
I'm sorry.
And then you run away. And she takes all her thermometers out and puts them on the bed and just lays on them and sniffs them.
Oh, and she like makes thermometer angels out of them.
She just lifts a handful of stank ass thermometers to her face and sniffs them, James. And just because of sheer numbers, you know, at least three of them are rectal. So everything's weird and awful. You know what? Don't go looking through her stuff.
Don't go chasing waterfalls. You got it. You know,
as much as I'd love that theory to be confirmed, don't do it. Because I don't want it to be confirmed that bad.
Yeah. She looked at me. She's like, hey, like, you know, the day we found out we didn't have any thermometers and it was an issue. She was like, hey, do you have any thermometers here? And I was like, I don't have any oral ones. And she just kind of looks at me like, where else would you? Oh, go get a new thermometer.
You come back in with like a meat thermometer and be like, are you sure? I can put this in your butt, dear.
Yeah.
Come here.
Especially she dislikes things, you know, they've touched the cat butt. I think she's going to poo-poo any suggestion about using rectal thermometers for anything else or vice versa.
Aw.
No pun intended.
I mean, you could just use a rectal thermometer as a regular thermometer.
I understand that. You could use it as a meat thermometer, too. Depending on how hot you're going to cook your meat. Or vice versa.
As long as you want it like your butt temperature.
Don't go chasing waterfalls.
I'm just trying to remember the last time I had my temperature taken rectally.
You should not be able to recall that because you would have been too young to...
No, I remember it getting done. I'm just trying to figure out like if it was... long enough ago that it's not weird.
I mean, did you pay to have it done? Like, was this like you were playing doctor with somebody?
No, my mom did it.
All right, thank you. This week on Dork,
it was in the old house, so that's good because we didn't move into the new house until I was 16. So I was younger than 16.
All right, well, that's good.
That's good, right?
That part is good.
It's before middle school, I think.
Okay, so middle school would have been like you started at 11 and you're 11 years old.
Yes.
So you're younger than 11. That's good. That's even better.
Okay, so that's good. I want to say it happened after kindergarten, though.
We're leaving the good part.
We're leaving five. So I was older than five.
Okay, so when you're five, you're old enough to be able to hold a thermometer under your tongue for a minute or however long it takes.
Sure, but I didn't. You did not.
Why?
Like, I didn't. I wasn't good at blowing my nose until I was like in second grade. I didn't learn how to tie my shoes until second grade. Mm. And it wasn't that simpler. I couldn't have learned. I avoided it. I avoided shoe tying. There was this little bear that had a vest that had a bow on it. And if in kindergarten, before you went outside to go play, you had to tie a bow on the bear's vest. And I would sneak out instead of having to do the bow. And then after that, it didn't come up. They just assumed everyone could tie their damn shoes. But I stuck with Velcro until I was seven. So I want to say I wasn't seven when I got my temperature taken rectally.
No, you weren't yet seven? Or you just weren't the age of seven?
I want to say I was younger than seven.
Okay.
So that's good.
So you're probably six.
Yes. I might have been 6 years old, which is extra awkward because I couldn't tie my shoes and I was reading at a high school level and getting my temperature taken rectally. I also couldn't blow my nose.
Well, we've learned something today.
Yeah.
Learned something today. So you were about the age of 6.
Well, I remember my mom would go, okay, we got to take your temperature, and she would get the magic thermometer, which I want to say we had long after it was necessary to keep in the house. But I think my parents were just like, you can't throw it away. It's a perfectly good thermometer. And she did that and a big old thing of Vaseline, just a too large tub. And she would just dip the end in there and then go, boop. I had to lay on the bed and put my feet up and boop, and it would go. And I would just hold myself still because there was something cold in my butt. And then out it would go. Like, I remember it way too vividly. And she'd go, okay, you don't have a fever. I don't know. I don't think it happened every day. So that's good, right? Like, that was when I just got home from school, time to take your temperature. You know.
Yeah, I'm glad that's 6. Because, like, if you were, like, 15 coming home, like, every day, it's like, all right. Hey, guys, you want to go home with me? Yeah, sure.
Yeah, hold on.
Hey, Nick's mom.
I'll be right back. Mom's going to take my temperature. What? Are you feeling bad? No, I got home from school. We got to check, right? That's right.
Every day for 16.
Oh, okay. Why don't you just do it in the kitchen? Because I got to take my pants off. Come on, guys. Why are you being silly? It's time to get my temperature taken. Rectally.
I'm developing the plot of a horror movie in my head.
Where a dude gets his temperature taken rectally?
Well, no, it's just like, you know, you find out things about, like, his relationship with his mother, and, like, there's flashbacks where he's, like, getting his temperature taken every day. And he's like, his mom took his temperature every day. Oh, that's not that unusual. Rectally. Oh. Oh. I don't see anything wrong with that.
I see something right with that. Well, let's leave it on that. I'm Nick Moore.
I'm James Brown.
I'm Nick Moore, and you've been dorked.
You have been dorked. That has happened.
Right up your butt, and it's a warm 98.6.
Yay, you're healthy. That's unsettling.
Physically. Physically, you're healthy.
Yes.
Mentally, though.
Well, mentally, if you're listening to Dork, then chances are you're not 100% mentally healthy.
And we apologize.
I don't. I say, like, I take pride in your difference and your unhealthiness, and be aware of it and embrace it. I'm feeling kind of ill. I don't need somebody to take my temperature now.
Oh no.
Was that a gavel?
Yeah. It was presented to my grandfather in 1979. It's a silver gavel. He was the SCGBR president. I don't know what that means.
Burr.
Probably something to do with, like, rotary or.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm sure it's a very well respected thing.
Yeah, they gave him a silver gavel. I should be fighting crime with this. Hi, James. Well, I will talk to you next week.
Yes. Hey, it's Valentine's next week.
Text me your temperature.
No.
Text it.
Okay.
Text it to me.
97.
Then I'll know.
It's usually 97.
You got something up your butt.
My equilibrium is a little bit lower than other people's, which is funny because my hands are pretty typically warm. Something Jane, like, actually counts on. If you know what I mean.
Take your own temperature. All right, later, James.
Later.
Thank you.